10:58, hour number two, live on the streetcar. That's right, man. We're doing a live radio show, Show and Burn, on the road, on the streetcar. That's right. This is a big game, so we're going to make this a big thing. We just had the Mayor Sly James on in the last hour. We've got a lot of guests coming in, surprise guests, maybe a Chiefs Hall of Famer or two coming through. So stay with us. Bill Moss coming up at 11:30. We got us a sponsor. How the hell did this just happen in the middle of the show? We got a sponsor, sir, that's sponsoring the 11 o'clock hour?
Yes, the 11 o'clock hour of Show and Vern is now brought to you by the Ainsworth in Leeward. Mm.
I'm about to shout right here. The Ainsworth? I don't know how many sponsors we get. This has to be because of you, Vern. The Ainsworth. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you.
Looks like happy a lovely spot to watch the Chiefs game tonight if you can't make it out to Harris Casino.
Yes, but make it out to Harris Casino.
Yeah, but that should be your first option.
This food is just throwing out a great – I mean, it is a great place. I'm not even going to do this. And you wonder. All right, coming up in 5 minutes. I think it's safe to say, Vern, this is the best – Show and Vern against the world college football challenge response we've got.
We'll see.
Because generally they don't step up. You get 30 to 60 seconds to just talk about me like a dog if you want to, if you win. And generally they don't come through. But this one might be the best that we've had. Now listen now. I told you about Sammy. And I'm telling you it's not personal with Sammy Watkins. I think Sammy Watkins is a good number two, a top three number two in the league. And I think he is important to the offense. Now, he ain't Tyreek Hill important. And I have no problem with the amount of money that he got signed for him. Now, I do from the Chiefs standpoint because he is not a top five receiver. But here's my issue, and here's what I tried to tell you a couple weeks ago, is where it's going to be a problem for Sammy is when you need him, and this is a game, right, we would say you need him, and he's not available. You can't, all right, you're going to get top five money, that's one thing. But if you're going to get top five money and not be worth top five money, your ass at least could be available when we need you. And if this is a game that he's not available, I think that's going to be a problem with people, especially when you have issues, other issues on the team to where you wish it could be addressed. Now, like I said, I got no problem with the amount he got, Vern, but it'll be a problem if he doesn't play tonight. Because coming in, you knew there was some issues with how reliable he is, whether that being he's missing time on the field or whether that means while he is playing, sometimes he disappears. And so to pay that money to him, that's to me when it's going to be an issue, is when you need him, we gave you this money. When we need you to be out there. You can't be hurt.
But aren't we to the point where everyone knows that was a bad contract? Even the super fans of Sammy Watkins, is anyone really?
No. I'm not sure that everyone believes that.
Look, people, I don't know if there's debate on whether or not the contract was worth it. I think the debate, and mainly people that come after you, I think the debate is whether or not he is an asset to this offense, because at times you've presented yourself, or, no, let me take that back. People have heard it the way they want to hear it. You've never said anything negative about the ability of Sammy Watkins, but it has been interpreted as you don't believe he is a, I don't want to say key factor, but that he is an integral part of this offense. I think that's where the debate centers. I think that could be something that we see tonight if the Chiefs come out and pick up this win and are still able to drop 42 points on the Rams. You're going to see that, look, Sammy wasn't needed. That, yes, he's a very good number two, but Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are so darn good that you don't need to pay that kind of money for a number two. But as far as the contract is concerned on its own, I can't imagine there's anybody out there going, yes, Sammy is worth every single penny. That was a wise move. It's a wise move bringing him in. No one's ever going to. I can't imagine someone honestly believing $16 million per is right on point for what Sammy Watkins deserves.
Well, I think they believed it changed the offense in a big way, so you had to overpay. We've heard that before, Vern. And my thing with this, with the contract, when it comes to this point is, why I say that is because that's when people will have issue. It's, man, all right, we paid you this money. And most of us know that you weren't worth it. But we paid you this money because we were going to need you. And we were going to need you in big spots. And this, to me, is a big spot. And if he's not available, then I think that's when, with some fans, with a lot of fans, I believe, it will hit. And that's the part I was trying to talk about a couple weeks ago, is, man, all right, it's one thing we're paying you and we're overpaying you, but to hell, at least you got to be ready. At least you got to be available when we need you. All right, maybe if people said this ain't a need against the Cardinals, but against the Rams in this game on the road, the reason why they gave you the contract was for games like this, right?
Yeah, yes. But again, I'm one that doesn't understand why. To me, the Sammy Watkins contract is reflective of a front office that didn't believe Patrick Mahomes was going to be this great this early. Let's surround him with as much talent as we can so the growing pains aren't as painful. Had they known they were getting MVP Patrick Mahomes, I don't think there's any way they sign Sammy Watkins. But to your point, I don't see how tomorrow or even tonight on the postgame show on Facebook Live, the 7th Street Casino Arrowhead Pride postgame show, I don't see how Sammy Watkins is a topic of conversation, because his absence, in my opinion, will not be glaring enough as to connect the dots of we lost because he wasn't there. It's going to be we lost, and that line is going to go directly to the defense, and it's going to end there. Because in my opinion, if and when you lose, it's going to be in a shootout. It's going to be because the Rams had the ball last. It's not going to be because Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson had a combined 8 drops. Now, if something like that happens, sure. But to me, the defense is a lot more likely to be the culprit.
As I've told you, I believe the fans and this fan base are an intelligent fan base. And I believe that people are going to see, okay, he's not playing. One, he hurts our offense because there was an issue with if he was going to be reliable anyway. And two, well, our defense was the problem. We got a guy who's not reliable so much that he missed the most important game of the season to date. That takes away from parts that could have helped this defense. And I think people will see that. And I think there is a good amount of people who will look, all right, man, we do not need him in the Cardinals game. But we saw this. But if we missed the Rams game, then that's going to concern me, because these were things that he did before. All right. We went 1-1 this week in Show and Vern against the World College Football Challenge, which I'm happy for. Now it's given us continuing to maintain our lead. I think we've done very well, Serta. And what?
Well,
we
Vern's
went 1-1.
Done.
No, shut up. It's a team thing. I hate when you guys do this. This is a team thing. We've done well, kept people at bay. We've got like a 3 or 4 game lead. If you know, if we do lose, we'll take and pick up the tab for an hour. But because we're winning every week, this is not going to happen, at least one game. And that's it. Good job. We went 1-1 this week.
You lost. We are 14-10. We are 14-10. And I'm 10-2. This thing could be over.
What did Urban Meyer do to you?
I mean, I can't even begin. I mean, if you've watched the Michigan-Ohio State game every single season. But to present it as if we went 1-1. No, man, the only reason this is still a contest, the only reason we're carrying this into Thanksgiving weekend, is because you can't pick a game to save your life.
That is not true. Have I won games? I've won games, didn't I? I won 4.
A couple.
Said you won. Shut up, Serta. You're not involved with your dirty shirts. I've won 4. If you've won 10, I've won 4. So I have won games. I'm close to 5. 5 wins. I'll take it. That's just so, you're like a bad spades partner, which I'm sure you know nothing about. We get the same amount of books, all right? Yeah, I know you don't. I'll teach you, though, coming up. Since one of us did lose, that does mean that we have a person that went against me does get 60 seconds to talk as much trash against me. I don't know why I'm going Canadian, but against me that they want. Serta, do you have – who was the guy that I went up against?
Josh in Leawood.
Josh, my guy, W, Josh. All right, so did Did you get his response to me?
Yes. And it's pretty impressive.
Ron.
Is it? Think this is the best?
Ronnie. Daddy. Are you listening?
Oh, my.
Are you listening to me?
Saturday afternoon, I know you were sweating under that right armpit of yours just like you always do. That cheap, low-income, habit-ass scarf of yours wrapped around your neck, sitting all cramped up in a chair that isn't built for human beings of your size. After that first touchdown, Ron, I know for a fact buttons were popping off, flying all across the room off of your 3 size 2 small Old Navy cardigan that you had on as you watched the Notre Dame Fighting Irish march down the field looking horny as hell, Ron. Pat needs Pat, more like Daddy's show is Fat. Stay with me, Ron. Daddy, you chose half pump piece Syracuse Orange to take down Rudy Rudiker's Notre Dame Fighting Irish to get the W? Listen up, Ron. Stick to your useless predictions and leave SAVAWCFC up to Vern, because clearly you are a f***ing idiot. Oh, and by the way, have fun getting Lando's name tattooed on your leg, moron.
Wow, that was strong. That's what we're talking about, Vern. That's what we're talking about. Learn from him. I think I want to give him some tickets to stuff. Unfortunately, I don't have any power or any tickets to give you, so you're not going to get any. But that was the best we've seen. That's what Vern is looking for when people have a chance to call. That was good. That was the best we've had.
Oh, without question. That was a guy that we should call about getting a job at 610 Sports Radio. Did you hear that pre-production? That's work. That's engineering. That's production. That's radio chops right there. Sirdy, you better have your head on the swivel, boss.
I would have never said that to you, Steve, and you know it.
I mean, while that was very impressive, especially for a guy who I would have to imagine is doing this at home, I mean, it's not quite my production level.
That was easily the best. That was easily the best we've ever had. And I mean, like I said, sir, I would have never done that. He's not as good as you. I would have never said anything like that to you, Steve, because I believe you're a special producer. Although I'm not sure you could have done that, but I still think that you have strength in other people. I mean, the outcome of this game really doesn't matter because the Patriots and the Chargers have lost at least immediately. There is a potential big-time fear for fans coming up.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, we're live back here on the streetcar. Come on now, there it is. That's right. This is Show and Vern live here, second time. This is a big game tonight. My man is smiling like he just saw a sexy lady. I know I'm looking good in this brand, man, but calm down a little bit. It's our second time we've done this big game tonight, so we want to do it big. Can we give away a pizza? Or you want to give away one of these shirts? Don't give away just give away the pizza. Nobody wants Steve's used shirts. Let's bombard this lady in the purple.
I would
purple.
Much rather
she looks
have
nervous.
That.
Let's get her. You going? You ready? All right, let's do this. We're walking on the streetcar. We're out here live. You can join us. You just missed the mayor. Did you want a free pizza?
Sure.
Or a free jacket.
All right, are you excited about the game tonight?
Sure.
Who's playing?
Kansas City and someone.
What's your name?
Jen.
Jen, where are you from?
Olathe.
All right, it's the Chiefs and the Rams. You knew that, right? You knew that. What's your name, buddy?
Isaiah.
Isaiah, where are you from? Kansas. Oh, Kansas. We don't know if it's Wichita. We don't know if it's Olathe. Nowhere. All right, help her out. What's the score going to be tonight?
Chiefs win.
Chiefs win is the score. All right, we'll get your information. Let's get her. She got a free pizza. Come on now. All right, now. Let's go. All right. Former Chiefs great Bill Moss is joining us here here in the next segment, hopefully, at some point. And we'll talk his thoughts of the game coming up. All right, Vern. I'm not going to lie to you as I make my way back. How you doing, sir?
Good.
As I make my way back here. As we give away free pizzas, as Vern is getting their information. So I think at the beginning of the year, we felt like we know how the Chiefs will lose in the playoffs. If the Chiefs were to lose in the playoffs, I think we've got to a point where it's like, Vern, we know how they're going to lose. Like, we've been talking about it. The way the Patriot game was, 43-40, most of us envisioned that's the way the Chiefs will lose. Like I said, the Chargers did us a huge favor by losing the game yesterday, and then the Patriots losing last week all but has given the Chiefs a really good shot to be the number one seed and win the division. But the reason why I think tonight's outcome of how it ends is important is because if you lose this game in the fashion that you think they might, like 40-35, 45-35, if they lose scoring 35 points, it will become real, right? Like, I think we've thought that, but then we could visually see a great team, you playing a good team and losing that way late in the season. It's almost Thanksgiving. I think at that point, that's the only thing that may be able to get in front of the Mahomes magic right now is years and years of knowing how the Chiefs will lose games. Years and years of knowing. Like, you can remember it. Like, right there, if it happens tonight and you lose the way that Kansas lost to Oklahoma 55-40, you didn't lose by 15 and you didn't score 40 points, it will become real and you're just, oh, God. This, like, we saw it. That's why the outcome, the way that this game ends, like, I would feel more comfortable, and this is going to sound crazy, I feel more comfortable if they lost 35-7 because I know that would be a true anomaly. Like, they're not, you know, the teams aren't holding the Chiefs to seven. They may have just had a god-awful day. But if you lose scoring 35 points, it's going to feel really, really real on how you have a chance to lose.
Yeah, I mean, you're the lifelong Chiefs guy, so I guess I'll defer to you. But, man, I find it somewhat odd that you think Chiefs fans need to see it as if they haven't already envisioned another heartbreaking loss in the postseason. Again, you and I, we've been talking about this for weeks. It's the Chargers, it's the Patriots, it's the Steelers, it's the Texans. Who can hang in a shootout? Those teams can hang in a shootout. Man, I think everybody that is good this year can lose in a shootout. That's what the NFL is now. What great quarterback has the ball last? No, I don't believe that Chiefs fans need to see it. No, they can close their eyes, think 5 seconds, and immediately envision some heartbreaking way in which their favorite football team falls short.
But I think consistently, we've like coming out of the Patriot game, there was no thought at that point of, oh, God, this is how we're going to lose in the playoffs. The thought was positive. Man, we played this bad, and we still almost beat them. There's some people who have lied to you and made it seem like we won the game, right? We've heard people say, I mean, the Chiefs really just won that game. No, we didn't. Like, it was positive. It was early in the year. They lose this game 40-30. They lose this game 45-35. It will be real. It will be real. Pat has changed how people feel. Pat Mahomes makes people think, don't look at me like that. Don't you look at me like that. I like that jacket, though. But don't look at me like that. Pat has changed the way people feel. Like, Pat thinks, I bet there are people out here think they can fly off buildings right now because Pat. Don't do that out there, by the way. I didn't mean to say that. But there are people out here who think, like he has changed it. We've heard that. Oh, normally I believe the Chiefs will fall apart in the playoffs because 15's there. No, this will be real if they see it tonight.
Yeah, I don't think it'll scare anyone. Maybe they just come to the realization of something that we've talked about on this show for months, that it comes down to which great quarterback has the ball last. But even if you lose 42-40, I still envision Chiefs fans in the postgame show or tomorrow going, I'm still happy with 15. I'm ready to ride or die with him come January. And I believe the next time they're in this position when it really matters, he'll have the ball last and he'll lead us to that game-winning touchdown.
Oh, I'm not saying they won't ride with him. Is that sun coming out? Thank God. Are we close to that BRGR? I know my order already. I know they ain't paid us, but I would like to pay them to eat some of their food. But I'm not saying that people will be done or give up on Pat. No, I'm just saying as the team, it will feel real to them. It will feel real. Like we said, Bill Moss is close. I heard Bill Moss is at P&L. He's coming up here in a little bit.
And again, you can find us car 802. What are you always touch? You're too touchy, man. Get up. No, that's why. Stop. Car 802. You can download the app right now to find out where car 802 is ultimately going to be.
If you haven't downloaded the app, you can find all the information at our Facebook page, at our Twitter page as well, or just go right to the Apple Store or Android Store, I think is what it's called. I don't know. K-City Post is what you're going to want to download. K-City Post to download that app for Apple or Android.
You got about seven more times to take a shot at Android. You hear me? About seven more times. Someone just said they believe they can fly on the text line. I know you do. Pat makes you believe in things that you wouldn't normally believe in. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
Julio Jones is an all-pro wide receiver, of course, but given the Falcons' injury situation in their secondary, they might have to try him out at safety. As late in the first half yesterday, Matt Ryan airmailed a deep throw to his star wide receiver. Cowboys' Jeff Heath looked like he was coming up with a pick until Julio decided to lay the boom.
Ryan, gonna let it go, looking for Julio Jones, and it's intercepted. Oh, what a hit by Jones! Julio Jones turned into a safety and drilled Jeff Heath. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, Julio Jones. Remember when Julio couldn't catch touchdown passes? And now he keeps catching touchdown passes, but they still lose anyway?
Yeah, that's why you never bet on the Falcons. Whatever the Falcons you think they're going to do, they always do the opposite. You can't trust that team, just like you can't trust Detroit or Cincinnati. It's a little gambling advice for everybody out there.
How was your week?
4 for 5. Missed a five-game parlay because of those sorry Philadelphia Eagles.
That's your fault. You're stupid. All right, we got Bill Moss on. Bill Moss is on the streetcar. Let's go out and take a break. We'll bring on Bill, and I'm going to see how Bill feels about what you believe is the stupidest thing that I've ever done on this show. Coming up.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Yeah, coach. Yeah, man. Welcome back in. We are live on the streetcar. Let me hear it, man. My guy right there. There we go. There we go. Yeah, Bill Moss, former Chiefs great, joins us. Thank you so much for coming on with.
What a fun time, huh? Everybody in Kansas City is excited about tonight, right?
Oh, I mean, we just had the mirror on earlier for a couple. Yeah, he was trying to get on me about my nervousness, but yeah, he feels it. He feels the Chiefs will win. Not comfortably, but he feels like the Chiefs will win tonight.
Did he have his bow tie on?
Yeah, Chiefs bow tie.
Bow tie then. That's good. That's good luck.
Oh, that's as good like bow tie. He didn't tell us about that. All right, I before we get into some things with the game, once again, Bill Moss is joining us here live on the streetcar. So I may have done something that got away from me. I am the biggest supporter of Marcus Peters in this city. And people keep telling me that Orlando Scandrick is better than Marcus Peters, and I will have none of it. They always throw the pro football focus grades at me. So I said, if at the end of the game tonight, if Orlando Scandrick has a better pro football focus grade, I will get Lando 22 tattooed on my leg.
Yeah?
Yes, and I mean it. I'm going to do it live on the air. I don't know why you all are laughing that hard. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, Vern. All right, we've been talking to people, and I'm
going to, man.
We're going to have them come in the studio. I'm going to do it live on air. I'm not going. It's not going to happen, Bill. Okay. Do you believe this is going to – what do you think my chances?
Scandrick's going to be covering the second team wide receiver because Cup's out, right? Right. Okay, Peters has Tyreek Hill. Uh-huh. Pick out your ink, bro.
No, I believe Robert Woods is going to take him. I believe in this. I don't like this. Every time I talk to people,
I bet you'd have to believe in something.
So you believe I'm getting tatted up?
I think you are, bro. Yep.
Bill called me bro twice. He really believes it. I don't believe it. I believe Marcus will come through. I've got my fingers crossed. Now I'm getting real nervous.
Not tonight, man. Not tonight. I'm sorry about your tattoo, but not tonight.
Can you say something? I am lost.
No, you're just going to have to understand that you got to explain this to your wife. You got to explain this to your son and daughter, why it says another man's name on your calf. You're the one that's going to have to break that to the Hughley family.
All right, back to the game.
What is that thing?
It's something that they brought with them as a
Stranger on a Train. The whole story of Stranger on a Train is posted right behind it. Big Chiefs fan, apparently, I guess.
See the bandana. Yeah, do you have a picture of that so you can put it on the webpage and people can look at it?
Yeah, I think so. All the kids were scared about it. All right, I talked to people about this because I'm wondering about you. Are you a game plan person or are you a put the ball in my best player's hands person? Because a lot of people we're talking to saying the Rams, who gave up 270 in their last game rushing against the Seahawks, maybe Kareem Hunt should be the focus. I got an issue with that because I feel like in big games it's about dudes, or I call them cat daddies, and I want the ball in the best player's hands. And I feel like I'm with you. I understand. I'm with those who want to use Hunt, but at the expense of taking the ball out of Mahomes and Hill's hands and Kelsey's hands, I'm not about that.
So who's your best player?
I think Patrick is, but especially getting the – Hill, to me, is the most dynamic.
Yeah, I agree with you. Here's the thing I'm concerns me the most about tonight's game. You know, we have so many weapons available, and they are a very good team. But sometimes – you just got to line up and play and let your best guys compete against their best guys. You know, the coaches sometimes get involved, and they've been thinking about this for about 3 weeks out and start drawing up all these plays, and they got cats going everywhere, you know, running everywhere formation-wise, personnel groupings. Sometimes you can outthink yourself, you know. Overanalysis leads to paralysis, they say. You know, I just hope that they don't try to throw too much at them on national television in this big game because they've got enough talent to line up and just win.
You think so? Because you play the position. I'm telling you. Aaron Donald and Sue, those two in the middle, that especially what we saw with the offensive line last week against the Cardinals, those guys concern me. And when you said just they're good enough to line up and just wait, that's the part where it concerns me right there.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I get what you're saying about those guys. And then Andy Reid, throughout his career, I've watched him back in Philadelphia when he had to compete in the NFC Championship games against Warren Sapp and the Tampa Bay Bucks year after year. And he got those guys because they had a really good front, you know, and Philly couldn't handle them. And they wore them out. They wore them out. They went sideline to sideline. Simeon Rice, too. I mean, they had some team linemen. They just go left. They go right. Then they go at them. And they just kept on making them run all over the field. And then by the fourth quarter, then they just started hammering them right down the middle. Aaron Donald's he's a unique player. You know, he's compact at just about 6 foot tall. He's big. He's explosive. He's fast. And he's got really long arms. And he's just one of those rare guys that can get right in the quarterback's face. So pass protection-wise, I think that's going to be a big challenge for them right up the middle. But Andy's going to have those boys running, I guarantee you.
There's no question there's importance when it comes to left tackle, right tackle. You got to be solid on the ends. But to me, if – Patrick Mahomes' quick release and his arm strength, along with the talent he has around him, if he's able to offset the advantage that Sue and Donald are going to have over the middle of the offensive line, doesn't that, and we've had this conversation a lot this year, further speak to where the NFL is as far as the importance of that offensive line? When you have a great quarterback, it seems like that center and guard, I don't want to say they're replaceable, but you can get by with some below-average dudes. I mean, these are all backups that they're running out there, and I still feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to put up numbers.
No, he is. You know, you're right. And the way they diagram and scheme things up on the blocking, you see a lot of misdirection out of this group, and that's why. It's not line up man-to-man, knock somebody off the ball. It's not zone. It's a lot of misdirection stuff. And so they use that to their advantage, and that to the point you're saying, yeah, Andy's been like that all his life, even back up in Green Bay. I mean, they didn't feel the importance of having a number one first-round draft pick has to be my guard or tackler. I mean, they're okay with plug a guy in. We'll make it work. Because that ball's coming out fast.
No, the big key is whose defense is going to be able to get some sort of start. Now, I'm curious your thought on this. This Chiefs defense has improved over the last 4 weeks. Now, some could argue, mine, you got Josh Rosen, a rookie. You got Baker Mayfield, a rookie. Case Keenum, although he had a big comeback against the Chargers yesterday. And Andy Dalton at night is a struggle. Are you at a place where you feel like there's been true growth with this defense, like they're ready to attack an elite offense, and that we'll see
the outcome different from when they face like Pittsburgh and New England? Because that's the key to me is who can get the stop.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have games like that, regardless of who they are, who you're playing, you build confidence off it. Like, so maybe they're not as great as I think they are, but as long as they think they're great, they can carry that into tonight. And you know, if I'm Chris Jones on this stage that he's going to be performing on, and you hear about Sue, and you hear about Aaron Donald, I want to make a name for myself. I want to show that, look, I'm every bit as talented and as good as what they're talking about Aaron Donald. And this is the platform that you do it on. 2-9-1 teams on Monday Night Football. This is where the big boys pick it up a notch.
This is why I love talking to guys who play the game. We've talked about this with D Ford from that prospect of, hey, man, you want to go make some money? You got a real chance to win defense. Be the dominant defensive player on the field with Aaron Donald. But I didn't think about it from the Chris Jones standpoint. Like, so when you're on the same field where dominant players at your position, this was big for you.
Without a doubt.
Who was that guy?
Well, Howie Long. When we played Raiders, I wanted to make sure they knew who I was. And I did. On big platforms, too. Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football. When we played against Buffalo Bills Monday Night Football, they came into Arrowhead Stadium, and Bruce Smith. You know, you want to show up, and you don't want him talking about the other guy. You want him talking about you.
The mayor brought up earlier, and I think we agree that D Ford has played himself into that franchise tag. That they'll pay him. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to be willing to pay him long term. Something that show brought up last week that I hadn't even thought about. Is it possible that D could play himself into a position where he starts thinking like Khalil Mack, and unless you give me that long-term deal, I'm not showing up, where I'm almost saying, to hell with that franchise tag? No, you need to pay me right, because I've had injuries in the past, and I'm not playing around.
Yeah, no, not so fast. Hold on there, right? I think this is the real D Ford, what you're seeing right now. I would attribute some of it to injury. I would attribute a lot more of it to immaturity. I think he's one of those guys that now in his fifth year, he's finally getting it. You know, he's like, I can play in this league. I feel comfortable. I know my competition, and he's starting to believe in himself. But the injuries had a thing to do with it too. But I don't think you just go ahead and throw the house at him. I don't think you do that either. I think you put a tag on him and pay him well next year and see if he can have back-to-back years. I mean, that's the trend you're seeing in the NFL, because the paydays are just, they're too disruptive to the salary cap.
So what's your gut feeling about this game tonight? Big game, huge game, biggest game of the season. What's your gut feeling about it?
You know, I really like the way that things panned out this week for the Chiefs. And the reason being is, they didn't care if they were going to Mexico or the altitude. They said, no, we're coming home. We're going back to business. This is what we do on a weekly basis. This is where we prepare to work. This is our environment that we're comfortable in. And they've been comfortable. Rams, they didn't know what they were doing. They're up in Colorado Springs and checking in a hotel here and going to some strange locker room in a field. It can be very disruptive, you know. This isn't a bowl game. You don't have 2 weeks, and then you're going someplace. And then they have to find out they're flying home, and they were practicing out there up to, what, Thursday, yesterday, right?
Yeah, those
wild. All that combined, I think the Chiefs got to feel pretty good about where they're at going into this game.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Moss, former Chiefs great. There we go. Bill Moss on with us. It might be your off here. I don't think. Are we in power and light? I don't think so. One more. All right. Bill Moss was in with us just now. Thank you so much for stepping on with us. We're getting ready for Chiefs and Rams. Big game tonight. All right. Here we go, L.A. This is your time. People think L.A. football can work in L.A. If it's not a great atmosphere tonight, then I don't know if there's anything that could be done for L.A. with the NFL.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
There we go. Yeah. Come on, man. It's the biggest game of the year. Let's go. We got a packed house in here. That's right. Show and Vern on the road. My man got some serious salmon pants. They're going to them wingtips. It's nice. We're here to kill it at Burns and Ale.
That's all right, though, man.
Go Chiefs!
I want to ask an important question before we get into this topic. I'm hearing this a lot on Facebook. Is my shirt too small?
Did you just laugh that hard?
Is my shirt too small?
Like, is this medium? My shirt ain't too small, Sal. What size is it supposed to be?
Is my shirt too small, Vern? I know you. I mean, if I did, I'm just trying to match your bald spot. That's all it is, baby. I'm just trying to match it so you don't have to feel alone in here.
Why did you have to do that to Vern?
Because look at it.
You can't see it like I can. My man. Mean.
That was not even that mean.
That was awful.
Vern, did you hear what Vern got mad at me because I wanted to give a weekend hug to the people in California with the wildfires.
Well, it was about placement. I totally agree with Vern on that.
You agree with everything he says. All right, Vern. This game tonight is in L.A. And I've been one who thought, hey, it's the second biggest market in the country. You should have football in L.A. If you're the NFL, you should have a team in L.A. Now, I don't think the Chargers deserve to be there. But I mean, I think if you're in LA, you should have a team at the NFL. If they can't get it going tonight for a game like this, for the biggest game in prime time, if they can't get it going tonight, then I don't know if they ever will be. This should be like a Lakers crowd, like an old, you remember USC when Bush was out there and you would see Will Ferrell and you see Snoop who goes for every team in the country. It should be big time, a big event. That's what we should see tonight in L.A. If they can't get it for this game, the two best teams in the league, or the Saints, if they can't get it tonight, prime time, they gave away what? They didn't have to give away like three tickets, almost free tickets to people, the first responders. There should be so much emotion in that place. It ain't going to ever work in L.A. They might as well go back to Oakland.
No, it's not going to be. I mean, the USC thing that you bring up, that's celebrities on the sideline. That's not people in the stands making noise. No, the Coliseum, that's not what it's about. And L.A., that's not what it's about. It's a late-arriving crowd. That's just how it goes. I mean, you're setting L.A. up for disappointment. You know what it is. Will there be celebrities in the seats where Floyd was sitting last week? Yeah. But as far as the crowd getting there on time, no, man, not on a Monday night. They can't get there on time.
No, but I'm not saying it's going to be Buffalo or Kansas City. I'm not saying it's going to be an intimidating place. But when you watch, there's some people in here who watched the Lakers in the 80s. Most of you weren't born. But if you remember the Shaq years and Kobe, there wasn't an intimidating atmosphere, but it was a hell of an atmosphere. Like, you were like, oh, all the stars, Denzel's out, Jack's out. Like, all the stars. It still seemed like it should at least match that tonight, right? The Rams, for 2 years now, have been popular. I think there are more Rams fans. I don't think this is like the Chargers, right? I don't think this. And plus, you have a lot of people who normally can't afford tickets to games like this will be there. So I'm hoping and I believe it'll be at least an atmosphere that matches those, because they haven't been getting even the USC atmosphere with celebrities. It just seemed like the people in the suburbs or something were going to. Like, this should have a big-time feel tonight.
Yeah, I totally disagree. I think it'll be a large contingent of Chiefs fans. I just don't see the Coliseum or L.A. as fully embracing this Rams team. Yeah, they did with USC because that was their pro team for a long time. They do with the Lakers when they're really good. Yes, this Rams team is good, but it's still not. It needs to become the place to be seen. That's what brings people out in L.A. And I don't know. I haven't seen signs that the NFL, that the Rams, that L.A. is that marriage that the NFL hopes it becomes. I don't see it there yet. Now, they have the characters that could help in that, in a Jared Goff and a Todd Gurley, but I don't know if their personalities are big enough. Their play is. I don't know if their personalities are big enough to bring the superstars out. I don't know if they're sexy enough. I mean, Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, that'll bring out celebrities, and yes, they were college kids. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, I don't think they're as charismatic as Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush were back in the day.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. The Lakers just have that quality, and USC for years just had that quality. By the way, remember, coming up behind us, the Drive, they will be live at Winning Streaks setting up for Fesco in the morning. Well, they will host tonight's watch party at Winning Streaks. So go out there after you're done, grab some drinks, hang out with some appetizers, hang out with some. Did we get? All right, I'll do this. Serta, if you ever listen to the show, Serta, our producer, brought these stupid shirts, and he.
They're not stupid. They're very nice. One of them even has the tag still on it.
Serta, who smoked for 18 years, they brought these shirts, and he wants to give them away. We've given away one. Does anybody want one of these damn shirts?
Oh, see? Man. See? That is the best prize we are giving away all day today.
Whoever wants it. Jeez, somebody gave away. What's his name?
What's your name? Joe.
Joe. Kansas City. Joe from Kent. That one right there is awful. If anybody gets, I'm going to give somebody $10 if they take that T-shirt.
The T-shirt's pretty bad. I got that for free. The jackets, fantastic.
This guy is,
really,
really happy about this jacket. All right, I'll give you that. That one's nice. The only thing is, man, that man has smoked camels for
that one's got the tag still on it. I've never even worn that
one. It smells like a mixture of Tide and Newport.
You're just making that up.
He said, all right. Joe, what's your name again? Joe said it smells like his grandmother, but sorry, sir. I don't, what is it?
That's because it's been in a closet.
That's because it's been in a closet, and sir secretly uses Ben Gay. Before we move, one of the big stories yesterday were the Browns, is John Dorsey was going to, I can't even say this out loud. John Dorsey was thinking about wanting to make, thank you for coming out. Thank you for those glasses. Was going to come out and say he wanted to maybe interview Condoleezza Rice to be the head coach. And I want to say this right now. I believe in this day that people get nervous about the truth. I believe that Condoleezza Rice and women can do anything in this country. But I want to say right now, you're not sexist if you believe that Condoleezza Rice is not a fit or that it's asinine that she would even be considered for an interview to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. She's just not qualified. You're not, right? The Me Too movement and everything, you're not sexist if you say that's the stupidest thing I've heard. All right? I'm not saying there are women who could be a head coach. Condoleezza Rice, to me, I'd hire her, Vern, in my front office because I think she has leadership qualities. But to be a head coach, Condoleezza Rice against Andy Reid, oh, come on now. But you're not sexist if you say that. She's just not qualified. But the thing that came to my mind when I first heard it was, if I could have just had 10 minutes to have morphed myself into a fly, and I could have been in the room where Greg Williams was, and I could have heard his first thoughts, his first 10 minutes. This may be mean, but I assume that he's got some possible sexist qualities to him because he's a creep. I wish I could have heard the first 10 minutes thoughts of Greg Williams.
Yeah, I would just want to know what came out of his mouth first, if it was sexist or racist, because I feel like both of those are in the holster for Greg Williams. You don't look like that and not have a tinge of racism and sexist.
He had a bounty out for her. You know what he said? Are you kidding me, John? Do you know who I am? And Condoleezza Rice is getting an interview? I wonder his first reaction.
He is from
Excelsior
Springs.
I think it just further shows the brilliance of Condoleezza Rice. She knows what everyone thinks about the Cleveland Browns, that nothing is crazy as long as you attach it to the Cleveland Browns. She doesn't really want to be the head coach. She knows that she was never interviewed, but her people put it out there to help her position herself to get another job. She's going to use this to get herself paid more. Her party put that out. It's her people that put that report out there. And she said, we could put it with the Cleveland Browns because everybody knows how dysfunctional that organization is, and nobody will dismiss it. Like, if you heard the New England Patriots were sitting down with Condoleezza Rice to join their coaching staff, you go, no, there's no way. Cleveland, yeah, you know what? Those crazy SOBs in Cleveland, they just might do something like that.
No, you don't even do that in Cleveland. She's just not qualified. I just wish the first five words, what did Greg say? What did he say? He probably said, you'll never work in this town again, John Dorsey. You try me, John. Hire her. You can hire anybody you want, but hire her. Your ass is mine. It had to be. I don't know why you think, I mean, you really believe Greg's coming out sexist or racist right out of the host. I just thought he might have put a bounty out on her. Just don't be afraid. You're not sexist if you don't think she's qualified for that job. And it's not just because she said she ain't. She just ain't qualified for it. All right, coming up, we're down 2 hours. We are live right here. And I'm going to tell you, live right here on the streetcar, car 802. That's right, my man, right here. This is something that's killing this game tonight that many of you have not thought of. My man is live right here tonight, man. We'll be back.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.